Blog Talk Radio.
Michael Turmoil fans, QJ and Sign Guy with you like normal here on a Sunday afternoon. Really fast, some show notes if you're looking for wrestling. KDW running today in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. Up in our neck of the woods, the NWA Great American Bash Internet pay-per-view taping at the NWA Blue Collar Wrestling Show featuring Cobra Kai's return as well as the Oregon debut of Casey Carlisle, whom I love. Should be an outstanding night in Portland. And if you're there, come say hello to myself, grab some merchandise, get a great night of wrestling. But I would like to bring to you someone I'm very excited to have on a show. I would like to welcome Timmy Lou Retton. Mr. Retton, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me. How are you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Now, for the benefit of the listeners, we always ask when someone's on the show the first time, what led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, when I was 4 years old, my grandfather sat me down on a Saturday and we watched AWA. And we watch it every day, well, as much as we could. But the match that made me want to become a wrestler was when I was around 8. It was Steven Regal versus Dave Boy Smith in WCW Halloween Havoc. That match was so good. Even at 8, I knew right then I wanted to be a wrestler.
At 8 years old, did you have any type of idea in your head as far as what you needed to do in order to prepare to get into the wrestling business as far as athletic base, as far as conditioning, as far as like any type of aspect that you may have thought you would need to become a wrestler?
No, sir. Honestly, the only thing I knew was to do push-ups because my granddad said, you're going to get strong, you do your push-ups. So I do 20 a day, and then I just go up 5. So I was doing push-ups every day. And then as I got older, I start running. I got into gymnastics, and that helped me with my flexibility a great deal. Then in high school, I competed in amateur wrestling, which helped me along with my gymnastics.
Now, when you decide to get into the wrestling aspect of it and start your training, did you have any idea as far as schools or who you would like to have train you or where you could even go in your area for training, or was this something that took a lot of effort to even get to a place that had training in order to start the actual training aspect?
Well, at the time, I was still in high school, and I was looking for schools. There was WWA 4 down in Atlanta, Georgia. There was George South in Charlotte, but nothing really local, I thought, around me. So I just start looking on Facebook, looking on the internet to see any shows I could go to help set up, help any way I could. Then I found Gouge. When I went down to Gouge, I met Seymour Snap. Eventually we talked. He told me I would need to help set up the ring anytime they had a show there, no matter where it was. So one day I'll be in Raleigh, the other one I'll be in Durham. I didn't really care as long as I was helping wrestling because I just wanted to be around it. And eventually started training me. And I guess the rest you would say is history.
Now, most people that listen to this show realize I'm an extremely strong proponent of Gouge. Hashtag get signed guy into Gouge worked. I now have an open invitation anytime I want to make it there, and I will make it there. It's my only dream in life. You happen to be the heavyweight champion of that promotion. Can you, as the heavyweight champion, give the listeners that may not be familiar with exactly what Gouge is a synopsis of what a Gouge show entails?
Gouge is a very comedy-based, very family-oriented promotion. It stands for Gimmicks Only Grappling Underground Entertainment. We have Cowboys as Jimmy Jack Funk Jr., Seymour Snot, Geek Cole, Big Bang, myself, professional wrestling only gymnast. It's very gimmick-oriented, very comedy-based oriented in the sense of family-friendly promotion. We love to get the crowd interactive with us.
Now, of course, you didn't start out as the Gouge heavyweight champion. It's just something you had to work for in order to obtain, but you're still relatively young in your career. You're not the grizzled veteran by a long stretch. What has it been like since you've won that championship and you've been getting your name out there and you've been representing Gouge pretty much everywhere you go as its heavyweight champion?
Well, it's been a very satisfying journey. I have been defending my championships not just in North Carolina, but in Indiana, West Virginia, New York. I was able to be in the ring, the sugar ring, with guys such as Ricky Reyes from Lucha Underground, Al Snow, Lince Dorado, Two Cold Scorpio, Easy Money from ECW, actually No Way Jose, that's in NXT now. So I've been blessed enough to have the opportunity to share ring with guys that are very known to help me become better and to represent Gouge in such a way that people will research about the company.
Now, of course, your trainer, Seymour Snot, the maker of some very high-quality T-shirts and apparel, his T-shirts are fully endorsed by and worn by the legendary Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. He is a huge fan of Seymour Snot. What's it like knowing that you are a trainee of a man that has a fan base that includes people that are absolute legends in the wrestling business?
It's very humbling, and it's an honor to be a trainee of Seymour Snot. A lot of people don't know that he trained in APW in California, where guys like Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, John Cena, the Great Khali, Bison Smith, they all trained around Seymour Snot. And Seymour Snot is very comedy-based, but he is an excellent wrestler, and I learned a lot from him. And speaking of Mr. Sullivan, I had the pleasure of wrestling in front of him in West Virginia. And after my match, he came to me and shook my hand and gave me his information, saying that I did a very good job, and I was able to talk more to him. I talked to him a lot, actually. So it's very humbling to be a representative of Seymour Snot.
And if Kevin says he likes you, he likes you. He does not mix words.
No, he doesn't. Not at all.
Now, another career milestone you just recently hit. You are number 500 in Pro Wrestling Illustrated's annual 500 edition of their magazine. It'll be hitting the newsstands very soon. A lot of wrestlers really make it a point to have a career goal of getting onto the 500. It's kind of a point of pride with a lot of the people in the industry to get the number 500, which is a number that most people remember just because it's the last number. So they remember that name more than a lot of the higher ranked wrestlers. You debuted at that coveted number. What was it like when you got word you were, in fact, Mr. 500 for this year?
It's actually a funny story. I was sleeping that day, and one of my friends, Elliot Russell, one of the tag team of the Heat Seekers, he messaged me, congratulating me, and I was still loopy. And I was like, oh, thanks, and went back to sleep. The next 2 hours I woke up, my phone was just blasting with messages from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, people congratulating me. I'm like, huh, what? And then when I actually saw it, like, it hit me, because as a kid, as if you're a wrestler, like, one of your goals is to be on the PWI 500. No matter where you are, you just want to see your name up there because it's very synonymous with wrestling. So wherever it is, people see your name and they feel as if you've earned that spot. So to debut at 500, where guys like Dolph Ziggler, Grado, Space Monkey, all have been in that spot and have gone on to do great things in their career, it means a lot to me. So hopefully I can live up to the standard that's been set from the guys before me.
One of the highlights for ICW ring announcer Zane Paisley when you were making your Indiana debut was that he was the first known ring announcer to be able to announce you to the ring as Mr. 500. Have you ever seen a more excited ring announcer than Zane Paisley was that night? Because I know he's been talking about it since you left the great state of Indiana.
No. He was very excited about it. I didn't know he was on call me that when I went to the ring. So I was very shocked and surprised by it. But I think it's a name that'll stick. Mr. 500, I like it a lot. I actually put 500 on the side of my head when I got my hair cut. So maybe that might be the thing I'll have for the remainder of the year.
I like it. I saw the pictures. I definitely liked it. Now, one of the things that impresses me most about you, and I am very impressed by you as a general rule, you're willing to go all over the map and perform. It doesn't matter how great the distance is. You're willing to go and ply your trade and learn and get experience and make yourself better. I know you're still reaching out, still trying to get into some new areas, but looking at the map right now with what you've done to this point, what are some of the places that would most interest you as far as being new territory for Timmy Lou Retton?
I would honestly have to say Los Angeles, anywhere in California, on the West Coast area. I've been able to wrestle in New York, but I'd love to apply my trade more in the state of New York, Philadelphia, Texas. Like you have stated, I just love to wrestle. I'm a big fan of the territory days, and I feel like when I get to travel to different places, I feel like I'm back in the day of just traveling to learn, to apply my trade, to be better. And I'll wrestle anywhere. It doesn't matter. When I send my resume out, under it says, will travel, and I mean that to heart.
Now, someone that you are familiar with, Casey Carlisle, whom I love, just made her Pacific Northwest debut last night in the state of Washington. She will continue on into Oregon later today. When you see people like that that have more experience and they're making debuts in a lot of places, and you've already been to so many places in your young career, do you think that gives you a bit of an advantage over most of the other wrestlers that have your same years in the business, your same rough training set, or do you think that it doesn't really apply as far as states crossed off the map?
Honestly, I feel like it does put me in a better advantage. But, you know, there are guys that have been doing it less than me, guys like Leo Rush, who's been a year under me and just been killing the business. Not in a bad way. It's been doing great things in the business. So I feel like it's just how dedicated you are and want to learn to be better in this business. I don't think years really should apply to anybody.
Now, someone else that I enjoy very, very much has also gone out of his way to endorse you and give his stamp of approval. That is the Gift, Jason Kincaid. He's been around for a very long time, just now getting to the national stage for some reason. I personally think he should have been there quite a while ago. But when you see someone that did travel great distances and still does and worked for over a decade to get to the point they're at now and for years has been called one of the most underrated wrestlers in the world, for someone like that to endorse you and what you're doing, what does that mean for you and your career, do you think?
It's very humbling. I've been able to talk to a long sense of my time. I agree with you completely. He's been very underrated. And I'm so happy that he's actually getting that chance to show what he can do in the ring. And meeting him, you wouldn't know how great of a wrestler he is because his mind is on another level when it comes to wrestling. I think of things. There's guys that I think things of all the time, but he will come early to the show and just sit in the middle of the ring and just think. And you will never know, by the time that bell rings, he's doing things that in years you wouldn't even think of. So for him to endorse me, I really can't find words to describe that. I've been able to share a ring with him a couple of times, and he's always brought the best out of me. So hopefully that carries weight for people because Jason is very, pun very much intended, gifted.
Definitely agree with you there for sure. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he also has some questions. So, Thez, help you as I pass things along to QT for a bit.
No problem.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Timmy.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Timmy, were you a big fan of the British Bulldogs and their bulldog that they brought to the ring, Matilda, or maybe Coco Beware's parrot, Frankie?
I was more of a fan of Frankie because I had a bird when I was little, and when I started watching wrestling, I saw him, I pretend my bird was Frankie. But he had passed away because I was jumping too much and he fell. My mom really was mad at me about that.
Uh-oh, you were jumping too much and he fell? Oh,
I named him Ariel.
Okay, can we ask the name of your parrot?
Ariel.
Oh, Ariel. Okay, very nice. Okay. Now, are you considering getting a mascot valet yourself, seeing how you probably have just gotten over the mourning of your parrot? Is anyone in Gouge currently have a valet mascot?
At the moment, I would say no. No, not to my knowledge.
Wow, okay.
But with Gouge, we're always looking for something different.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, Timmy, the East Coast is filled with Coast Guard and Navy ports, such as Jacksonville, Norfolk, Portsmouth, and Nag's Head. Have you ever wrestled on Navy bases before, or military bases?
Yes, sir, I have. With wrestling, there are a lot of naval bases. And actually, coming up next year or this year, I should be wrestling on Canton. And I'm always willing to wrestle in front of our members that give their lives for us.
Wow, all right, okay. What are some of the most significant injuries that you have had to overcome?
I would say my concussion.
Oh, okay, concussion, okay. Sound guy, I think we lost.
Hello?
Sound guy?
Do we have you still, Timmy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there you go.
All right. Well, yeah, now you said you had some concussions. Was it just one main one or several small ones?
It was just one. Luckily, it was just from, I guess, my third match. It was a guy, I was on the top rope. The ropes were a little slippery. And when I jumped, I slipped and I fell. It wasn't too major, but, you know, things like that in wrestling, you can never be too cautious.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Jimmy, did your grandpa live long enough, and hopefully he's still alive, to see your wrestling debut?
Yes, he was. He is still alive and kicking.
Oh, okay. Was he there at your debut?
Yes, he was there at my debut match.
Can you recall who you wrestled that day?
Yes, actually my first match was against Seymour.
Oh, wow. First match. Okay. All right. Now, did he boo Seymour and attempt to hit him with a foreign object, your grandpa?
No. He was more so cheering for Seymour, actually. Made me upset because I'm his grandson, so he should be cheering for me. But, you know, that was a long time ago. I forgave him.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was able to wrestle Seymour a couple more times, and I was lucky to beat Seymour. So, you know, the student usually beats the teacher.
Wow, all right. So fantastic. Okay. Now, did you ever have a chance to meet gymnast Kerry Strug?
No, I have not had that pleasure yet.
Well, as you know, Timmy, Kerry Strug did a vault that broke her ankle, and she vaulted again on this broken ankle because her team needed a good score for a gold medal. Do you watch that second vault that secured the gold medal for the women's gymnastic team for inspiration?
Yes, I did. It was very, very gutsy. It's determination like that that makes me very proud to be a representative of gymnastics for wrestling.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, are you a big fan of the Muppets? And if so, is your favorite Muppet Sam the Eagle?
I'm more of... I guess I would say the Eagle. I would lean towards the Eagle.
Oh, okay, Sam the Eagle. Okay. do you agree that Sam the Eagle bears a striking resemblance to William Regal? If you agree
sorry,
with
sir?
That, yeah. Do you agree with that statement?
I will have to say I plead the fifth.
Oh, wow, all right. That hasn't happened that often before. Okay, the fifth, all right. Now, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your main moves are? I have advice or consultation that your two main moves are going for the gold shooting star neckbreaker and a moonsault called the dismount. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what these are and what they entail?
Well, the going for gold neckbreaker consists of me running towards my opponent, grabbing their neck, and performing a shooting star press while I perform the neckbreaker and land on top of them.
Oh, man. Okay. Uh-huh.
The dismount is a top rope moonsault paying homage to Kurt Angle, another Olympian. People say it's better than Kurt Angle's, but I would never say it because I idolize Kurt Angle's moonsault. I think it's the best one in the wrestling business, period.
Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Timmy, Sign Guy sent me a YouTube video entitled Timmy Lou Retton versus Seymour Snot. And I'm sure there are several videos out there of you wrestling Seymour Snot. But in this one, the announcer said that you were the most elegant man in wrestling. Now, elegance is a trait one must be born with or learn in the proper environment. Elegance, refinement, education, and grace can often be hammered or instilled in a person. For example, if he or she went to the finest boarding schools of New England where equestrian, horse riding, polo, and ballet classes are offered. My question is, did you go to the same New England boarding schools that a young Triple H went to?
No, I went to a boarding school down in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow, okay. Did they offer classes in polo or gymnastics or ballet?
Gymnastics, tap dancing, and surprisingly, mime.
Oh, wow, mime, okay. All right, very good. All right, well, seeing how you're a man of elegance and refinement, are there any truth to the rumors that your distant lineage and also that of Mary Lou Retton can be traced back to the Titanic where your ancestors had cabins and dining facilities in the first class part of the ship where they dined on caviar and Kobe beef while the second class passengers who had among them the relatives of Seymour Snot slept in the engine room and dined on canned meatloaf and Dinty Moore beef stew?
Well, sir, being that I am always first, never second, I will have to agree with you.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I know. I've got it on good information that Seymour Snot did dine on Dinty Moore beef stew, and he'd sometimes have to sleep on deck. Yes.
The poop deck.
Oh, yes, the poop deck, yes, if you will. Yes, very good. All right. Well, Timmy, my assessment of your cultured upbringing and bloodlines to Mary Lou Retton were confirmed in the video Signed Guy sent me entitled Timmy Lou Retton versus Seymour Snot. And despite the abundance of used pickup trucks and no Lexus or no Mercedes-Benz or Rolls-Royces, you did three pirouettes in the ring at the 122, 124, and 127 marks. My question is, didn't I see the great ballet dancer Rudolf Nureyev do the same warm-up moves when he danced at Carnegie Hall with the London Philharmonic Orchestra?
Given your great history, I am only inclined to agree, sir.
Oh, okay. Now, me being not quite as much as a refined and cultured man, were indeed those what you call pirouettes that you were doing in your warm-up?
I would have to disagree. In gymnastics, we call plié or dips.
Oh, okay, dips. Okay, all right. Like clam dip and bacon dip?
No.
I
like
Okay. All right. Now, your commoner opponent, Seymour Snott, came out to the entrance music of Devo, who he has probably seen at lower-class speedways of New Jersey and Detroit. It's rumored that 15% of the concert goers that attended the Sturgis Outlaw Bike Rally and Devo concert in 1992, along with Seymour Snott, had to be deloused and also had to have distemper shots. How do you reach an uncultured, Krusty the Clown type man like this and teach him refinement? Yes.
Well, simply put, I take him to my class down in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we stretch elegantly, we do tests classfully, and we finish off with a nice cartwheel.
Whoa, wow. I think a sign guy would pay big money to see Seymour Snott in a tutu. That's my guess. Yes.
Oh, okay. That is confirmed.
Oh, okay. Wow, very good. All right, well, Timmy, sign guy took a Seattle Ferry boat ride last night with women's champ Casey Carlisle, who is doing her first ever Northwest tour. I assigned sign guy and explained the shoulder epaulets that a rear admiral wears, which is a thick bar of gold topped with one star. A vice admiral would have two stars above this thick gold bar, and an admiral would have three stars. Casey Carlisle chose to be the rank of captain, and her shoulder bars or epaulets would have four stripes. On the ferry, it could be conceivable that sign guy could order Casey to sound the fog horn. My question is, as operations fleet officer for the West Coast, would you be a vice admiral had you taken this cruise last night with Casey and sign guy, and with your advanced navigation and administrative skills as West Coast vice admiral, would you have placed the vessels in harm's way on foggy Puget Sound?
I would have to say no, because with Casey Carlisle, you're always in the right direction.
Oh, okay, very good. I'm going to mark that down, Casey Carlisle, right direction. Okay, very good. Would you ever have an obligation, although you'd probably kind of regret it, to overrule Casey Carlisle's captain of the boat decisions? That's what I'm asking.
My good sir, one never goes against Casey Carlisle.
Whoa, okay, very good. All right. Now, if you took a ferry boat ride with Steven Regal, would you outrank him?
Never.
Oh, never. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, do you think if you could travel back in time and get Gold Dust to be in a time machine and he was a little bit younger, would he be a valued member of Gouge? Gold Dust.
Very much so. I think he'd be the North Carolina champion. Not the Gouge heavyweight champion, but North Carolina champion.
Wow, all right. Okay. How about Jimmy Wang Yang?
Jimmy Wang Yang? Yes.
Yep.
He would be a perfect fit.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Have you ever had the chance to meet Jimmy Wang Yang?
No, sir. I have not had that pleasure quite yet.
Wow. All right. Okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who you think will be in the Final Four or make it to the Final Four in the NCAA football championship, seeing how NCAA football and wrestling have had a symbiotic relationship?
If I had to choose, I would say Ohio State.
Oh, okay. Ohio State. Okay.
Ohio State. Iowa.
Okay. Iowa. Okay. How about Clemson?
Clemson? I'd have to decline.
Okay. How about Alabama?
I'm not sure Alabama has a wrestling team, sir.
Oh, no, this is NCAA football.
Football, sorry. Alabama, yes. Roll
okay.
Tide.
Oh, all right. I'm put down Alabama. And would you like to now also say Ohio State?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to mark down in our Turnbuckle Turmoil logbook that you have picked Ohio State and Alabama to reach the Final Four. Very good. Okay. Can we, at Turnbuckle Turmoil, our listeners ask, what's your first weight in high school wrestling was? And indeed, did you go out all 4 years in wrestling?
Yes. My weight in wrestling in high school was 215. And I wrestled from my freshman year to my senior year, 215.
Wow. All 4 years?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have to cut weight like the other wrestlers did?
Not as much.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, did you know that King Kong Bundy played high school football that I know of in his senior year, and he weighed 350 pounds? Yes.
No, sir, I did not know that.
Yes, 350 pounds, which leads into my next question. Were you a big fan of King Kong Bundy in Married with Children?
I was a big fan of Al Bundy.
Oh, okay. Well, have you seen the episodes on YouTube of King Kong Bundy on Married with Children?
I'm sorry, sir?
Are you a big fan of King Kong Bundy on Married with Children, which you can see on YouTube, and he's in a wrestling ring with Bud Bundy?
I haven't been able to see it, but I will check it out.
Oh, good. Very nice. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I congratulate you for your honorary rank of Vice Admiral on the Seattle Ferries that I've just bestowed you. Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. It's quite an honor.
Oh, okay. Yes, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Retton, you talked about having the gymnastics background, of course, and you're the only gymnast in professional wrestling. What sort of abilities do you think that gymnastics gave you that prepared you and made you a better professional wrestler?
Well, with gymnastics comes great balance, flexibility, and great patience, because it takes years of hard work to become good in gymnastics to where you can feel like you compete with anybody, like all sports. But gymnastics is very critical on everything, pointing your toes, bringing your knees, jumping this way, landing this way, and it helps with body control a great deal.
Fair enough. Now, in the history of professional wrestling, there's been everything from hockey players like the Goon to basketball players like Sugar Dunkerton, golfers like Stuart Payne. Why do you think it took so long for professional wrestling to gain a gymnast?
Simply put, sir, no one had quite the elegance such as Timmy Loretton.
Very good point. Now, there have been several very agile men going back to the days of Ricky Starr and Antonina Rocca that were extremely agile for their day, to guys like Rob Van Dam that revolutionized professional wrestling in a way in his era, to guys now that seem to be able to do things that never seemed possible in a wrestling ring before. Do you think that the athletes in professional wrestling today are somehow different than they were in other eras as far as like flexibility and conditioning and having the training regimens in place now that add to that agility? Or do you think it's just some sort of natural evolution of the human species that allows the people today to showcase that agility and bring it to the forefront?
Well, honestly, sir, I believe it's a mix of both, because just like with MMA, when it first started, they had different classes of martial arts. They had karate, they had boxing, they had wrestling. Now, you have to have all of them to be a complete MMA fighter. I feel the same as professional wrestling. We, as myself, all watch people we idolized growing up. We took bits and pieces to where it made sense to us, and then we start thinking out of the box to where we can all stand out or things that work for us. So I feel like it's a mix of both.
As far as your own conditioning program, what do you do, be it cardiovascular training-wise or weight training program-wise and nutritionally-wise, in order to maintain your current ring shape?
Well, I do a lot of power tumbling on my days off when I'm not teaching gymnastics. When I'm not teaching gymnastics or doing power tumbling, I go into the ring and I do lots of blow-up drills to where it helps me keep in shape. And do I like them? No. But I know I need to do that to be able to maintain this weight and to where I can compete at the level that I'm trying to reach.
Now, we also mentioned in the course of this interview people such as Big Bang Ronnie Nicole and Casey Carlisle, whom you're familiar with, of course. Have you had many opportunities in the ring thus far for either intergender matches or the mixed tag team matches?
Yes, sir, I have. I actually have went against Big Bang Ronnie Nicole many a times. That's how we've become closer as partners on the road, friends. I was able to share the ring with the Great Cheyenne in Indiana. As of right now, those have been my only two wrestlers I've been in the ring with, wrestlers that I've been in the ring with. But I'm more than able to do it again.
Now, recently in the state of New York, there is a huge controversy when members of the Athletic Commission temporarily shut down an intergender match. They eventually allowed the match to go forth when they could not produce the exact documentation on the books proving that it was, in fact, illegal. What is your opinion on intergender matches as it relates to professional wrestling in the year 2016?
I feel as intergender wrestling has a place in wrestling, as in all different aspects of wrestling. You have your hardcore, you have your high flying, your lucha libre, you have your technical style wrestling. So I feel as though intergender wrestling is well off in 2016 and beyond, because female wrestlers take the same risk as male wrestlers. They're doing the same things. They can get hurt just as much, if not more, than us. So I feel like they earn more than the amount of respect to be able to wrestle men, women, space monkeys, geeks with physiques, anybody who they choose.
Now, in just general terms, you don't have to get specific if you don't want to at all, but what do you think about commissions in wrestling? I know that you've dealt with a few commissions. You're licensed in a few states, so obviously you've worked in commission states. What's your overall opinion of what they bring to the table in the current landscape of things?
I feel as though if commissioned properly, they bring a great asset to wrestling, because it weeds out people that want to be serious about wrestling and guys who aren't as committed as in this sport.
Now, like I just said, you are licensed in a few places. For promoters that might be listening, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to book this man. In which states do you currently hold a license?
Currently, I am licensed in Virginia and South Carolina.
There you go. So if you're in those states and you have promotions, Timmy Lou Retton would be an excellent addition to your card. Getting back for a moment to Gouge, when you think Gouge, and if you're a longtime fan of it, one of the names that invariably will pop into your head and sometimes into your nightmares is Count Grog. He has been a thorn in the side of your trainer for many, many years. Can you give us your thoughts on the Grog father?
Well, honestly, I love Grog. I think he's a very intelligent man. He helped start the careers of many wrestlers, not just as myself by giving me the opportunity to wrestle for Gouge, but wrestlers as Mickey James, guys like Mickey Gambino, Otto Schwann, and Seymour Snott. Now, I know Seymour has had problems with him for years, but I feel as though they can bury the hatchet. And just so happens, Seymour just has to admit that Grog is a better man.
Now, Grog has been in the business for a very long time. He goes back to the 70s. Long time manager. He's managed countless greats. Legendary figure within Gouge. I'm sure he's giving you, over the years, lots of pieces of advice that have helped you along your path. What would you say has been the single greatest piece of advice to come from Count Grog?
One of the many advices he's given me was to just stay humble. No matter where I go in this business, never forget where I started, because you never know what may happen, because the same people you'll see on your way up are the same people you'll see on your way down.
That is very good advice, and from everything I have heard and seen, you have implemented that advice very well into your career so far. Now, looking at your trainer, Seymour Snott, he also has been around for quite some time, has wrestled a lot of very large names in the industry as far as recognizable names that have had a lot of success in the major companies. Cornerstone in the Southeast and the Carolinas, legendary figure of Gouge, maker of fine merchandise. what do you think was the most important lesson that Seymour Snott has given you, with the possible exception of don't let John Cena break your nose, because he didn't really learn that until it actually happened to him. So discounting that piece of advice, what would you say was Seymour's greatest lesson?
I would say never be afraid to fail, because you're not really failing, you're just learning.
Well, you can fail to learn.
That's very true of a lot of people in the industry. For someone like myself that has yet to get to Gouge but counts it as their only dream in life, which it is mine. I'm not going to beat around the bush, sugarcoat anything. It's my only dream in life to get to Gouge. What advice would you give someone with that life goal?
Be open to any and every idea, because I can tell you that there have been guys that wanted to have an opportunity to wrestle in Gouge, but with Gouge, you have to have something that makes you stand out, something unique, something of a gimmick. And with most guys, they are afraid to step out of that box, so to speak, and open their mind to try new things, see what works, see what doesn't work. They're so stuck in their ways, and sometimes they don't lead off with their best foot forward, and they don't stay around long. So just be open to any and everything, because any and everything will possibly and will happen.
We're coming up on the end of the program here. I want to give you plenty of time before that happens to say anything you would like to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite Italian restaurant, anything that it might be. Floor is all yours.
Okay. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having me. It's been a blast. To listeners, I want to say thank you for all your support, for the guys, gals, kids that have come up to me and told me I've made a big difference in changing their demeanor for the day. I greatly appreciate it. If you would like to have me in your state or your promotion, your favorite promotion, you can tell your bookers to contact me by fcgm.1988@gmail.com. They can look me up on Facebook, my fan page, Timmy Loretton, on Twitter, @TimmyLoretton, and my Instagram, you guessed it, @TimmyLoretton. I have t-shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. Just type in Timmy Loretton. There's many shirts online that you can look at. Again, I just want to say thank you guys for having me. I had a blast. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Well, I want to thank you very much. It was an absolute honor to have you on the program today. We enjoyed it immensely. Hopefully, when I do achieve my life's goal and I make it to Gouge, which I am hoping against hope it is very soon, you will be defending the title that day, and we will cross paths in a locker room.
Oh, I definitely will. I plan on keeping this championship forever, because I'm what the past tried to be, what the present wants to be, and what the future hopes to be. And I'm Mr. 500.
That is absolutely right, because Zane Paisley would not make that up.
Hey, Zane.
Fans, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say hey, Zane.
Oh, okay. Well, fans, if you get the opportunity to see Timmy Loretton in person, you absolutely owe it to yourself to do so. He's an absolutely phenomenal talent. Tons and tons and tons of potential. He is just getting started, but he is very, very good already. look for big things happening with him. If you're anywhere in the Carolinas, get out there, watch him defend that Gouge championship. He goes all over the map. Try to find him. And we will be back with you next week. And hopefully we will see some of you at Portland, Oregon, at the North Portland Eagles. Casey Carlisle's first ever time in Oregon. Getting a lot of first-time Oregon trips this year. One more today. So we will see you in just a short time at Portland.